It's good to be here today and open God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your Word. We do pray that as we sit under it this morning, that you will teach us. Father, our hearts are hard and we're stubborn. And Father, we often bring our own interpretations to your Word. But we do pray that it'll be your words who break into our hearts this morning. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what are you waiting for? What do you like at waiting? We're generally not good at waiting, I find. Most people I know are not good waiters. I was in a department store the other day and I was waiting in line. There was one lady in front of me and she was only there like 30 seconds and she was on her way. And I got to the counter and the guy behind the counter said, "Oh, good morning, sir. Sorry for the wait." I mean, you're kidding. Like, I was there 30 seconds. Like, and I understand that it's good customer service that we don't like to have people waiting, but I do believe that somewhere this guy is probably jittery because people have paid him out because they've had to wait too long. You see, we don't like to wait, and the more I find we go into the world, the more I find that the world is trying to make us expect that we shouldn't have to wait. That we're important. We should not have to wait for anything. And I think we take that in to all of our life. You see, we can't now wait for an episode of our favourite TV show to watch once a week. What do? We download and we binge watch. Because a week is too long to wait for our show. Goodness me, when I was growing up, it was just great to be able to watch TV. Have you ever sent a text to a person and then held your phone waiting for them to reply? My life is busy. I'm important. Reply to my text. I can't wait. See, friends, this leads us into very dangerous territory. It's very dangerous territory, particularly when we come to God's Word. Because when we come to God's Word, we often try to read that with an attitude of impatience. An attitude of a right of privilege, that we want this thing to happen now, and if God's Word doesn't say it, well, I'm not going to trust it. See, impatience, friends, leads to doubt. And doubt often leads to disbelief. You see, because that's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. If we go right back to the start of creation, Adam and Eve were there, and they couldn't wait. When Eve was tempted by Satan, she was impatient. Rather than thinking about what God had told her and what Adam had told her, she was impatient. Impatience led to doubt that God would actually be as good as he said he was. And that led to disbelief that God would do what he said he would. And so, she took the fruit. Adam and Eve jumped ship because they were impatient. But the problem is still ours today. See, when things don't move as quickly as we like, we often jump ship. We change direction. Friends, all generations are the same except for the circumstances. And this was a problem in the New Testament as well. The very first writings of the early church, just after Jesus had been brought back to life, are the book of Acts. And the writer of the book of Acts tells us that Jesus appeared to many over a period of 40 days. And then he ascended. That is, before the disciples' very eyes, he was ascended back to heaven. Now, if you're following along in your notes and the outline in the weekly news, the first point I want to make this morning is the promise. And if you've got your Bibles open, it'd be good if you went to Acts chapter 1. So Acts chapter 1, and if someone can give me a page number, that would be helpful. Sorry? 1691, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. It says there, they, that is the disciples, were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, that is Jesus, when suddenly two men dressed in white beside them, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And so that's the big promise. That's the promise that comes from the New Testament now. The coming of the Lord Jesus again. And so the New Testament calls this the last days. The days between when Jesus goes to heaven until he comes back again for the second and last time. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament call this the day of the Lord. Or they call the day of the Lord when Jesus will actually come back. When Jesus will have final saying on this world. When there will be a final reckoning, a judgment. Everybody who has ever lived will have to give an account in front of the throne of King Lord Jesus. Now, if this promise is true, there's a lot of stake here. It means that what happens here on earth has significance into eternity. So we have this promise that Jesus will return, but when will it be? Some will want Jesus to return today for various reasons. Some will not want Jesus to return for a long time for other different reasons. So our Jesus Is series today is that Jesus is taking way too long. Some of you might think that. Some of you may think the opposite. But if we think Jesus is taking way too long, we might start to think that Jesus is actually not coming back. Our impatience can, as I said before, lead to doubt and to lead to disbelief. So this morning we're going to look at this passage in 2 Peter chapter 3. So if you go to 2 Peter chapter 3 for me. Page number again would be helpful. 1896, thank you. Let me read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Second point today is this, that things are the same as they always have been. See, the scoffers in Peter's day were having a field day. Jesus is not coming back. Where is he? Where is this coming that you've been talking about? I can't see any signs of it happening. Let's face it, just look at life. Things are the way as they always have been. Just look at us. We go about our life. We go to work. We come home. We have, we get married. We have children. School starts. Christmas has come. Bills come in. We go on holidays. Things are just the same as they've always have been. Nothing really has changed. So where is this coming? You know, perhaps you're not a follower of Jesus here today, and that's exactly how you think. See, you're not strange or different for thinking that way, because that's exactly the way people have thought for millennia. Or you Christians, are you delusional? You're waiting for a day that doesn't seem to be coming. Why don't you just go and do what you want to do? Do anything that pleases you. Is that how sometimes you think the world looks at you? I do.
You see, there was a great expectation that Jesus would come back in the lifetime of the original writers and the original hearers. And when that didn't look like happening, well then, Jesus mustn't be coming back. But Peter has harsh words for those who scoff. You see, those who are scoffing, they forget. In fact, they deliberately forget. See, we were reminded last week when Jim spoke to us, he spoke about a passage in Romans 1 for a moment from the Apostle Paul. It said, "The wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all the wickedness and sinfulness of people who suppress the truth in their wickedness." See, in people's desire to do what they want, they suppress the truth. See, people suppress the truth so they can go on doing what they always want to do. That is, to live their own way rather than God's. And Peter tells them that they have deliberately forgotten. Come to verse 5. He says, "But they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." See, what Peter is saying is, you people who are scoffing, you've deliberately forgotten that God created the world, but then God also judged the world in the days of Noah, and he flooded everything. You've deliberately forgotten that. It's a convenient forgetfulness. Jesus is taking too long, they will say. And so I'll forget all that other stuff that I used to know and believe. And Peter tells us that the earth and the heavens we know will one day be consumed with fire as judgment is pronounced over all the earth. And those who do not follow Jesus will be destroyed. Of course, if you're not following Jesus, this is something you like to conveniently forget. And hope that if you forget it, it actually might just go away. See, avoidance is one of the less endearing human traits. See, often we think, if I just avoid the situation, then it's actually not real. If I don't have the conversation, there actually isn't a problem. If I just forget that Jesus is coming back, well, maybe it won't be true and then I don't have to worry about it. If I avoid it, I might forget it. And if I forget it enough, it possibly may not be true anymore. But then Peter goes on to tell us why Jesus has not come back yet. And it's not because he's forgotten, and it's not because he's not coming back. He is still coming back and still will do all the things that he promised will happen. But what we've done is taken this message and try to put it into human thinking. Come to verse 8. "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." Point 3 this morning is, stop using your own calendar. We look at the world in such worldly ways that we forget about God's agenda. God has a different calendar to you and I. I mean, I think God must laugh when we put a yearly calendar up. A year. That's nothing in God's eyes. For a day is like 1,000 years in God's calendar. So you might think you're waiting a long time. You're not waiting a long time in God's calendar. And then we get to verse 9, and verse 9 is really our key this morning, a lovely reminder about God's character. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." See, the reason that Jesus has not come back yet is that God wants more people to be saved. God is for us. God is the God of salvation. That's what God is on about. See, often the tradesman who sticks around at your house for a long time doing the job is because he wants to do the job properly. I remember many years ago at work, I was speaking to a lady who was very cynical about God. Cynical about everything spiritual. And I got the opportunity to share the gospel with her one day, and I'm sure I was boring her because I was downloading everything I ever knew about the Bible. Here's my chance to share the gospel, you know, and I just blurted out all this stuff. And I finally got to the point of Jesus coming back. I said, and one day Jesus, God's appointed a time and Jesus will actually come back and judge everyone. And she said, oh yeah, like that's going to happen. It's been 2,000 years already. And from within me, I answered her. I said, well, I said, just imagine, if you'd come back yesterday, where would you be today? Now, I'm hoping I didn't say it arrogantly. And I don't know where that actually answer came from. I do know where the answer came from. But it's true, isn't it? If God sent Jesus back yesterday, where would you be today? It's a good question, isn't it? See, if it's true Jesus is coming back, we better make sure we understand where we stand with him. We better make sure we know what all this is about. See, the point is, friends, that as I look around this room today, within 70 years, we're all going to know. You see, no one is any more than 100 years away from knowing, finding out the truth about Jesus. That's the truth. But once again, we can think that because we don't know when this time will be, seemingly it's a long time, and because of our sinful nature, we think we might be able to outsmart God. Jesus' coming doesn't seem to be any closer than it was yesterday. I can't see any signs. Life seems to be going good, even though I'm not really following Jesus, so I don't think I'll worry about it too much. Well, Peter warns us against this type of foolishness. Come to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by a fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. What does it mean to come like a thief? Well, it doesn't mean that Jesus will come deceitfully. It doesn't mean to say that he will come and take what is not his. But rather, it means he comes when we least expect it. That's what a thief does. A thief doesn't come to your front door and knock on the door. A thief comes when you're not there. When you least expect it, that's when the thief comes. And that's how Jesus will come. In that unexpected moment, Jesus' coming will take everybody by surprise except for his followers. And so I want to ask you, and this is point number 4, have you got your bags packed? Are you ready for the return of Jesus? See, if I was to ask today who thinks Jesus will come back tomorrow or today, I don't think anyone will put up their hand. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. Nobody knows and no one's actually going to expect it. We actually don't expect him to come back today, do we? We've got plans. We don't expect him to come back tomorrow either, and not next week, and probably not the week after, and in fact, I don't expect him to come back probably in my lifetime. That's the way we think, and that's why Jesus is going to come back when we least expect it. Now, many of you will know what it's like to be an expectant parent. Months before or weeks before the baby comes along, the mother, I'm hoping, will have a bag packed, ready to go, because When that time comes, you don't want to all of a sudden be thinking, what have I got to get in my bag? My goodness me, I'm in a rush. I'm not thinking clearly. You want to be prepared for that moment. Now, just before you think I'm literally talking about taking a literal bag to heaven, I'm not, okay? But there's a couple of things that you need to keep in your, make sure you've got in your bag. The first thing, friends, that we need in our bag is repentance. We need to turn and face Jesus. We need to repent of our ungodly living, of the way we want to live our life. You see, without repentance, we ain't going to see Jesus. Oh, we'll see him, but it's not going to be good. So we need repentance. See, because with repentance comes the forgiveness of sins. And if you're not forgiven by God, the coming of the Lord Jesus is going to be a horrible day. The day of the Lord will not be a day then where you decide, I think I'm going to follow Jesus. Because the day of the Lord will be too late. And so as you live your life as a Christian, if you've repented, you have the forgiveness of sins. You have it with you. It is guaranteed. And so what that means is, you have assurance of salvation. Repentance gives us forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins gives us the assurance of salvation. We can be sure that we are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ because of the cross. Because at the cross is where it all happens. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he took the punishment for our sin. Judgment day for the believer happens here on the cross. Jesus is judged on our behalf. And friends, if you're following Jesus, if you've repented, you have the forgiveness of sins, the assurance of salvation because of the work that Jesus did on the cross. And when Jesus comes back, he will only take with him those who have trusted in this work on the cross. Those who have repented. Those who have the forgiveness of sins. Those who have assurance of salvation. See, friends, there is only one ticket that's going to save you on the day of the Lord. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. See, forgetting about it will not make this any less true. Not liking it will not make it any less true. Being too busy with other things will not make it any less true. There is an urgency in this message because only God himself knows when two definite things will happen. Those two definite things are our death and our meeting with Jesus. And only God knows in what order they will happen. We think we know, but we don't. But friends, in this passage, we're reminded that help is at hand. Come to verse 13. But in keeping with the promise, we are looking forward to new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Since then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make effort, every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. And bear in mind that our Lord's patience means what? Salvation. God is patient with us because he wants us to be with him. God is about salvation. And we are called there to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. But that's out of reach for us. Who here's spotless? Who here's blameless? Who can make peace with God? That's exactly why God sent Jesus. The only spotless one. The only blameless one. The only one who can make peace with the Heavenly Father. That's why we need to cling to the cross. That is our only hope of being found spotless, blameless, and to find peace in God the Father. Friends, I want to urge you to come to the cross. I want to urge you to seek repentance. Get the forgiveness of salvation and the assurance of salvation. Sorry, the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of salvation that only comes through Jesus. God's patience means salvation. See, the very fact that we're still here today is testimony to that point. God is for us. Jesus is the way of salvation. Any other way other than Jesus leads to destruction. But do not be foolish. Do not believe that this cannot happen today or tomorrow. Let me finish with the words from verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Together, amen.